Hello friends, and welcome once again to the Kings of Anglia podcast. A very special podcast this week. There's a small game of footer at the weekend on Sunday. It's our big Derby Day preview. My name's Mark Heath. I'm here with Andy Hutch Warren.
Hello.
And Stuart the Doctor Watson.
This is a thing now, is it?
It is absolutely
good.
A thing.
Good morning. Yeah.
And before we get going today, boys, one of us broke the rules last week. I'm afraid I'm going to have to enforce it as the host, and therefore...
Why are you looking at me?
Well, misdirection, my friend. Because it was Stuart Watson
who
broke the rules last week.
What's he done?
Failed to deliver a hot take in the course of the podcast.
Ooh. Can I help Stu out with this one, actually? Because he delivered a really good hot take in the back of the car.
Go.
On the way home from...
Where did we go?
Where did we go last week?
Sheffield Wednesday. Sheffield Wednesday.
Do you want to say it, Stu? Because it's your hot take.
You're building it up. It's going to be good.
Stu declared that the winning goal in Sunday's East Anglian derby will be scored by a player not on the books of Ipswich Town at that time.
Ooh.
That's a double hot take, because I believe a previous hot take of Stu's was that Jordan Graham would sign for Ipswich Town.
Yes, bang on the money with that one.
Boom, double them up. Jordan Graham scores the winner in the East Anglian derby, Stu.
Well, let's go with it now.
A certain man we'll come on to in a bit.
Aaron Drynan.
if only. But no, obviously Mr. Walters, we'll talk about him in a bit. That would be tremendous, wouldn't it?
Is that good enough, though, for Stu's hot take?
That's an exceptional hot take.
So there you go. Mine's out of the way. Yeah. Done and dusted.
No. That's a lot. You've still got to do
that.
Oh,
that's... Okay, fine.
Yeah, but now everything's reset. So as long as you deliver a hot take at some point in the course of this podcast, you will not be breaking the Kings of Anglia podcast law. Okay?
Fine.
Reset. Let's go again. So before we get to the small matter of the football and the transfers and whatnot, the nitty-gritty, let's have a little catch-up, boys, because I've not seen you for a little bit. Andy, when we last spoke last Thursday, you were off on a Friday to take delivery of what sounded like some tremendous furniture.
Yep.
Update, please.
Well, delivered. Got put together for me on arrival, which is new. I'm usually packing that myself. New dining room table, sideboard, bosh, done.
And you bought it from none other than Glasswells, as you probably
Glasswells is correct.
You must be getting some serious coin, my friend, because Glasswells is not cheap.
Well, you tempted me back here a year or so ago.
It was a big offer, to be fair.
You know the figures that were being bandied around. So
I wouldn't know about these things, but so essentially it turned up made, because I'm of the sphere of people who have to put together my own furniture.
Aspirational furniture shop, mate, Glasswells. It came made, essentially. The legs weren't on the table, but my guys... Put them on for me. So
nice one, and it's a big oak style. You said there were benches, didn't you?
Yeah, came with two benches.
I'm imagining some kind of Game of Thrones sort of banqueting table that's the size of your whole front room. Is it that big?
It's appropriately sized. We did the measurements.
Hopefully, one day we'll get to sit around Hutch's dining table, Stu.
Yeah,
we could record around it, couldn't we?
You wait to
see the lights that are going on in our living room and dining room. Actually, you'd love them.
What are they?
I'm not going to tell you. Wait and see.
And you could treat us to some of your special food, which I was disappointed to see no burger update on your Instagram.
Special food?
Yeah, you know, one of your world-class eggs or your potatoes.
Papas con mojo. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Come around for some papas con mojo. We'll do a podcast.
I like the sound of that. And let's invite some of the listeners around as well. Let's have a big party at Hutch's.
Let's do that.
I can see you're up for that. Yep. Stuart Watson, you've had a little break, a little 3 days off. Very nice. Yep. I haven't seen you again since last Thursday. What have you been up to, my friend?
Bits and pieces. I went into enemy territory on Monday. Did a bit of shopping north of the border.
Anyone recognise you?
No. Obviously not.
Despite wearing your I'm Stuart Watson t-shirt.
Yeah, even with that, still didn't get stopped.
Nobody cared.
And rightly so.
Yeah, you're a big deal. Anyway, so you're in Norwich, yeah? Nice bit of shopping.
Yeah. What else? I was in two minds whether to share this story or not.
I'm going to share it with the listeners anyway. You can't not now. Yep.
Had to go and have a little check-up at the doctor's
last
week.
This is news to us. Yes, okay.
Man's things.
Oh, no.
Just, you know, it's all okay.
Everything's working, just need to point that out. They're still there?
All fine, but, you know, as a man, you have to check these things, don't you? So, when I got the all clear, I had to have the little fondle at the doctor's. But the upshot of it was, you need to wear more supportive underwear. So
right?
Today I'm, well, from this point forward,
you're wearing
now,
Speedos.
I'm now rocking a brief, which,
wow.
Well, I'm at that stage in life, which was, yeah.
Do you
know where I'm at?
Buffon wears briefs all the time.
A lot of footballers do,
yeah.
Don't they?
So
it's very continental, isn't it? Yeah. That's what I'm trying to tell myself at the moment.
What are they, like Giorgio Armani, sort of, that kind of...
No, just some yeah, sort of your cheap shot.
So the upshot is the boys needed more support, essentially.
They did, yeah, essentially.
Get behind the boys.
get underneath the boys.
Yeah.
So
I'm supporting my boys this week, and I think everyone should support the boys.
Slick, I like that.
This Sunday. There
Slick.
We go, move on to the football.
The key message, get yourself checked.
Exactly.
Very important.
That is very
I
important.
I thought, you know,
all
as men
aside.
These days, we have to talk about these things, don't
absolutely,
we?
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, Stu has given us the perfect segue into talking about football. What should we talk about first, boys? Should we talk about transfers, which is the sexy stuff, or should we talk about the Derby Day, which is also sexy?
We've just talked about Stu's pants, so let's stick sexy.
Yeah, let's stick with sexy. What do you want to do? My plan says
transfers.
Let's do transfers. Okay. I'm going to give you a few names. First of all, John Walters, Andy Warren. What's the latest with John Walters? Is he going to sign for Town?
I think the expectation is that he will. They're working on it. He's out of the picture at Burnley. Not involved, really. I think he played one of their early Europa League qualifiers this summer, but hasn't been involved, not training with them ahead of their game with Olympiacos. Sean Dyche said a couple of clubs have been in contact, one of them is Ipswich, and they're working towards making it happen. And the expectation is that it will get done. Initial loan deal, obviously, take it from there.
That's very exciting, isn't it? I see fans yesterday were very excited about it. I know he's,
yeah.
What is he, 34? So he's
34.
84.
There's always the romantic side of it, isn't it, when you're going back to a much-loved former player, 34, pushing 35 now, I think, next month. But I think he's probably the short-term solution that's needed. I like what Hurst is working towards, but they've lacked a physical presence, they've lacked a bit of experience and know-how in general in these first few games, and if you can get him in for the short term, I think
that's what I really like about
idea.
It. It's not necessarily even the playing side, although obviously he's a good player, experience of playing at high levels and stuff, but I really like the experience side of things, because obviously that's what the team kind of lacks at the moment. He's brought in a lot of young, hungry players, none of whom have got experience of playing in the Championship and playing in a kind of high level in these big games.
But it's in that final third, they've got Chambers at the back, they've got Skuz when he's fit in midfield, but I just think he would provide that experience at the top end of the pitch where they've maybe it's just not quite all knitted together thus far. And
you can imagine him helping the likes of Harrison and Jackson in terms of, you know, how to conduct yourself at this level and, you know, the kind of behind the scenes stuff that you know, maybe don't get from anywhere
coming
else.
Coming back a very different player to the one that left. About eight years ago or so, though, he played his best football for Ipswich in a wide right role. Very much coming. Did I say wide white?
That's a coffee, isn't
it? You styled it out.
Yeah,
it's a new coffee.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, played much of his football wide on the right. Would be coming back as a central striker now. So it's a very different John Walters that will be coming back, but a useful one nonetheless.
You pointed out, Andy, just before we came in here, that there's some real parallels between, you know, he's not a Paul Hurst signing in the current mould, but he would have been 7-8 years ago coming from Chester. You know, he was very much the didn't quite make it at Blackburn and Bolton, had several loan spells, had to work his way back up with Wrexham and Chester before he eventually came to Ipswich. So he will be able to put himself in the shoes of so many of these new Hurst signings and be able to impart some of his previous career experience to them, I think.
Sounds good to me.
Yep.
Next one up, potential incoming, or is it? Been long and protracted and frankly a bit boring. Curtis Tilt.
Yeah.
What's happening? Nothing by the sound of it.
Well, the latest we gather with that is that, as Paul Hurst said yesterday actually, is that it's just reached an impasse again. And
is this Blackpool up
so
to their old tricks
times.
Again?
Well, yeah, they're really hard to negotiate with. It must be said that Ipswich have never actually hit their asking price, but along the way there have been negotiations where Blackpool have, you know, you negotiate from both sides and you negotiate down, one side negotiates up, and they've come together on a few occasions and it's just whatever reason the goalposts change, and that's happened again with this one. It looked like a loan was going to get done. Everybody thought that was going to happen, but it sounds like the goalposts have changed that one in regard to how much of the ultimate fee is paid up front, which is a significant part of any negotiations these days, how these fees are structured. And it's not to Ipswich's liking. Blackpool not budging.
But you still wouldn't rule it out completely, would you?
Well, no. It would not shock me at all if they went back at 3 o'clock on Friday, 2 hours before the deadline, went at it again. Blackpool, who, for reasons that are probably not worth going into here, because it's a very messy football club, as we all know, need some money to come in there, and the deal gets done. It wouldn't shock me.
Ipswich are also looking at it thinking, well, his price drops again in January, or you know, so.
Although it has since transpired that he does indeed have an option in his contract to extend it, so he's not actually out of contract at the end of the season, as everybody thought. Don't know how that would change things, but we'll see.
So if it's not Tilt, they will still look to bring in a central defender, won't they? Don't you think that, before deadline it slams shut tomorrow?
You would think so. We're getting pretty late in the day now. We've discussed about, you know, they certainly need some more cover there, but cover being the operative word. I mean, if you were to go and sign Tilt, who clearly was a first choice, who then plays at centre-back? Does that put Luke Chambers' position under threat? Because NTR has done pretty well thus far. Can he afford to drop his captain, given the conversations we've been having about the value of experience at the moment? So it's going to be very difficult to go out and sign an experienced Premier, an experienced loan player, or someone from a Premier League club where there would be an expectation of them playing more often than not. So it's hard to sell it to a player coming on loan here, but you might not play every week. So you've limited your market of players that you could go for there. So it's not going to be easy to suddenly switch targets from Tilt to someone else, I don't think, at this stage in the day.
Okay. Well, as usual, obviously follow it all with us. Andy Warren, Stuart Watson on Twitter, and on the Anglian and Star websites tomorrow.
Just to chuck a name in on centre-back, Danny Bart at Wolves would be someone that I think would be a great little target. I saw him play right at the start of his career on loan at Colchester. He's been a captain at Wolves. They've just done a bit of business with Wolves. He's available.
Are we flagging that up as an official Dr. Watson hot take, or is that just
this? Well, to be fair, the Jordan Graham one before was based on inside information. I was pretty confident that one was going to happen. Danny Bart is me just literally chucking a name
just
out.
Chucking a name out.
But he would be one that would expect to come in and play, though, wouldn't he? He captained Wolves for much of his time there. He would expect he'd be in that bracket, wouldn't he? But he's a really, really good player.
Yeah. Left-footed as well, I believe. So again, that provides a bit of the balance at centre-back. So,
not that it's competition, but who's winning the hot take battle?
I think me and Stu have got one each.
Are you saying I haven't got any?
Yeah.
Well, so mine's kind of tepid take really now. Lukewarm. But if Dryling comes back and does indeed do the business as promised,
that you win.
We all cancel the competition.
Yeah, completed.
Absolutely.
It, mate.
Podcast ends.
Done.
Yeah. Let's talk very quickly as well about a man who won't be coming to Ipswich Town, Mr. Cameron Jerome. Andy, you had a good chat with his agent yesterday.
Yep. Not often that we both speak to a lot of these people. That's a lot of how our work is done. But very, very rarely will one of them wish to be quoted. And generally, the end of a conversation with such a representative ends with, not for quoting, and that we all agree, yep, obviously not. That's a little peek behind the curtain there.
Yeah.
But, this one was quite happy to, I think. I'm not sure I completely agree.
What was the quote? Just share it with people if they've not seen it. It was basically,
he didn't want to sour wonderful memories of his time with Norwich.
Yeah.
But he's going to Turkey, basically.
Right.
So I don't think that's the only reason he didn't want to come to Ipswich.
I reckon he would have soured those memories if Town were offering him a decent wedge, let me tell you. Mm. Anyway.
He fits the bill in terms of what we've been talking about, experience, physical front man. But yes, it's always a bit awkward when, especially with the game on Sunday being the game it is.
Yeah.
That would have been an interesting one, but I think certainly think Ipswich fans will be more excited about the thought of Walters than
exactly
than
who needs Jerome. Johnny Walters is coming home to score the winner on Sunday.
Controversially, though, I think actually if I was purely picking an objective football team, I'd much rather have Cameron Jerome. If I know that's probably not a very popular opinion, yep. But if I was not picking an Ipswich Town team and not taking Norwich connections into account, if I had to sign one or other, I know which one I'd sign. But
I think you're probably right, and that's perhaps the process that Ipswich have gone through themselves as well.
Mm. Paul Hurst doesn't strike me as a kind of guy that would really care about that kind of
sentiment.
Thing. If it's a player he wants, clearly he made an inquiry. You know, he'll go for it.
Mm. Let's talk very quickly before we move on to the big day itself about Tristan Nydam, who obviously won't be in action for Town on Sunday. He probably will be playing this weekend for St Johnstone, though, in the Scottish Premier League. He's gone out on loan until January. What are we thinking about that? Hurst has basically said he hopes it's a way that he can develop because he's not going to play as much as he'd like to, essentially. Good move, Stewie?
It's always difficult to say at this stage of things. Hindsight will be a wonderful thing. What I will say is, should he be playing for Ipswich is another debate as to whether it's a good move. If he's not going to be playing for Ipswich, then I think, yes, it's far better for him to be out the building and playing proper games where points are at stake and developing. Whether you feel he should be in the Ipswich Town team or not is another debate.
Mm.
Now that he's got Eden in, who I think has looked a good player, probably that little bit more advanced in terms of where he's at compared to Nydam, both similar left-footed, versatile players, then yeah, I think for 6 months, get him out and develop him and bring him back and hopefully be a more rounded player.
Mm.
I get the impression with the way that Hurst has talked about Tristan Nydam on a few occasions that he really didn't think that he should have played as many games. Was really surprised to find out he played as many games as he did last season. He referenced it again yesterday, that for an 18-year-old to play that many games is difficult. But you're right, if he's not going to be playing them for Ipswich, there's no good playing park football in the under-23s in front of nobody. Go play in the Scottish Premier League. Why not?
Super, like it. Right, boys, I'm going to rip up the script next because I'm a maverick. Originally, I've got our own discussions about Derby Day, but I think looking at the sheer amount of questions we've had coming in on Twitter for mailbag, I'm going to propose that we jump straight into mailbag and get through it because a lot of these things are going to be brought up anyway.
Yeah, let's do it.
So let's do it. Let's start with Jordan Addison first of all. Hello, Jordan. Thanks for getting involved. Two questions from Jordan. Do you see wins coming soon? Where do you think we'll finish this year? Because we've got a lot of young players. We'll take time to adjust. And finally, asks, will we beat Norwich? We'll come to prediction later on. I want to finish the show with predictions from all of us. So in terms of the wins coming soon and where will Town finish this year, what do you reckon?
Yes, wins. I think a win will come on Sunday. That's another peek behind the curtain for my prediction.
Yeah.
Town will still finish 14th, as I said previously. I still think that's true. What was the last bit? Will we beat Norwich? Yes.
There you go, you've answered that. Okay, let's do one each, shall we? Because then we'll get through them, because there's so many. Tom Block for Stuart Dr. Watson. Do you believe Walters would fare well in the Championship for Ipswich with the new playing style under Hurst?
Yes, because, well, it remains to be seen physically how he is, because he missed a lot of football last year. I think he only played 5 games for Burnley last year. Had a recurring knee injury. But the John Walters that we've seen, I mean, this is a guy who's averaged 30-odd games every season in the Premier League since leaving Ipswich Town.
Mm.
So, you know, serious pedigree there. And he's, you know, we know he chases everything. He works his socks off. I don't think there'll be any problem with him buying into what Hurst wants from his players as long as he's physically up to it.
Cool. Harvey Davies for Hutch. Although I'm pleased we've signed Graham, what's your opinions on Gwyn Edwards playing at left wing? That's where he was for Peterborough and he always looked dangerous cutting in.
Yeah.
Hurst seems to prefer him on the right, though.
He really does, though, doesn't he? Mm. That surprised me a little, particularly given that he has used Grant Ward on the left wing, which is not his strong suit either. It's pretty clear that Hurst sees him as a right winger, so we'll see.
I'd like to see him on the left, I have to say. The Rotherham game was the one for me. He'd obviously played really well on the opening day against Blackburn on the right, so I could kind of see the logic in sticking with that. But I looked at Rotherham had got beat 5-1 by Brentford on the opening day, and by all accounts they'd really struggled down their right hand side, and I just wondered whether Edwards down the left against that, if not from the start, certainly to switch it up during the game, would have been something I'd like to see. But he seems to be well set on Edwards down the right.
Well, Jordan Graham suggested yesterday that he's been brought in to play on the left, so it looks like that's going to continue.
So are we thinking basically the starting unit there is going to be Graham and Edwards on the wings with Nolan in the middle, sort of thing? Is that the way it's going to work?
Eventually, whether Graham goes straight into the team this Sunday, I don't know.
Okay. Stewie, I think this one's for you. Has our appeal for Toto's red... This is Stephen Fuchs, by the way. Has our appeal for Toto's red card been rescinded? And more of a statement this one. We definitely need another centre-back in before deadline day.
Well, it's 11 o'clock on Thursday. We're still hearing no news. They were hopeful of hearing something yesterday, so whether no news is bad news, I don't know at the moment. But I'm sure by the time people listen to this, we'll find out. Either way, what was the second part of the question? Who plays?
It's more of a statement, really. He just says that we definitely need another centre back in before deadline day. So, in terms of the Toto thing, that was a ridiculous red card, wasn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely. If you can't make tackles like that, we may as well all go home and start playing football.
I've seen people over analyse it now, slow it down frame by frame and freeze frame it. That, you know, eventually his follow through catches him on the leg, and I mean, he gets to the ball about a week before. It's basically a pass, let alone a tackle. I mean, come on, let's all just pack up and go home, or call it a non-contact sport if we're going to get... It's not even a foul, let alone a red card.
Ridiculous. If it doesn't get rescinded, you're quite right.
I thought it was a straight red.
Did you? Horrendous.
Yeah.
Hutch.
Not really.
Your question from our old mate Stefan, with a surname I can't pronounce, but you do.
Vasek.
Stefan Vasek. This one's for you, Hutch. Thoughts on whether going for Jackson over Josh Windass was right, assuming we could have afforded Windass with the money?
I don't think it was a case of either or. They wanted both. But I like Caden Jackson. I like what I've seen. He fits the mould. He is rapid. And we haven't seen the best of him by any stretch yet. It's one we'll never know. We'll never know the answer to that question. But I like Caden Jackson. I think that'll come good.
Good. Rodney Marshall, friend of the show.
Rodders.
Pierluigi Colina lookalike. How significant, psychologically, is Sunday's match for Paul Hurst's men, especially with the international break to follow? It's massive, isn't it, Stu?
Yeah, I think so. They can talk about it. There's only 3 points up for grabs and treat it like any other game, but especially with the international break and the way Ipswich have started the season, there does feel like there's added importance on this, because it's 2 weeks to stew on things. If they lose, or if they don't win, if they win, then I think, you know, at the minute there are plenty of positives, and there are quite a few concerns from what we've seen, and the needle's kind of sitting somewhere in the middle, and I think whatever happens on Sunday will just tip people one way or the other for the fortnight that follows. If they win, it's liftoff. If they don't, then all of those concerns will be sort of churning around for another couple of weeks.
Social media will be
Mark,
busy.
Can I just interject here?
Yes.
I think Glasswell should sponsor the podcast.
Oh, good shout. Like,
because I've got my eye on two new dining chairs to go with. if you're listening, Glasswells, particularly Ben at Glasswells, very helpful. Yeah. They do the best scones in Ipswich, in the cafe.
They have an excellent cafe. Mm.
So
in Ipswich and Bury St Edmunds, so hits the demographic for us.
Excellent. I believe they may be opening another branch in another town, which I cannot remember where.
Breaking news. Breaking furniture store news.
So,
well, you've given them all the free publicity now, so they're not going to want to...
Well, we will not mention them again.
But it's a good point. We do still need a sponsor. Stewie has already made tentative inquiries about potentially getting
a
hook up with some beer. And why not have some furniture store involved as well? Fantastic. Glasswell's
one. Send us free stuff and we'll
just send
talk
us free
about
stuff
it.
and we'll tell everyone how great you are. That's
in all seriousness, we are looking for sponsors.
No, we are very much. Yeah. That's the line. Hotchy, Adrian Hawes wants to know, will it all come good in time to avoid a relegation scrap? Oh, bloody hell.
Let's not talk about relegation.
I'm all in favour of Paul Hurst's new era and approach, but are we kidding ourselves that his League One and Two recruits are good enough in a division where big money seems to be flowing more freely than ever? Adrian's not happy now.
I don't think we need to be talking about relegation scraps yet. I honestly don't think it will come to that. They're valid concerns, of course they are.
Yeah.
They're players that have got no experience at this level whatsoever, but I think every single one of them has shown that they're capable of playing in the Championship as individuals.
This time last year, Ipswich had won their first five games in all competitions. Were we talking about promotion then? Genuinely? No, nobody was talking about promotion then. In fact, people were talking about every shot Ipswich have had has gone in, and we had that ridiculous start to the season, didn't we, where like the shots on target, I think virtually 90% of them were converted. I actually think we've had the reverse of that. I had a little look at some of the stats. In terms of the shots Ipswich have conceded, is amongst the fewest in the division. It's just that every shot on goal seems to be going in. And I know there's concerns about set pieces, and they need to strengthen that. Of course they do, but I think that's an easier thing to rectify than if you were being carved open and you were conceding shots and chances left, right and centre. I think they've looked quite solid and organised in the games.
I'm much more concerned by the lack of goals than I am the defending. But I think they can sort. They're having more shots than their opponents in the vast majority of these games as well. But they're not getting an awful lot of luck, and I don't like talking about luck with football really, because luck's silly. But I'm more concerned about that, but I can see that it will click at some point.
Okay. Absolutely. I think defensively they've looked okay. I think as an attacking unit, as we've discussed, the entire attacking unit are new players, and that takes time for them to gel. And I think hopefully with a couple of extra additions as well to strengthen that wall could come good over time. So no, I'm not concerned at all about relegation still.
So calm yourself, Adrian. The boys say it's going to be all right.
We will end up looking very silly, as I said in the verdict piece, if it all goes terribly wrong. But I think objectively speaking, taking a step back and having been at the games, I think they'll be okay.
Harry Butcher, our old friend Harry, mixing up your nicknames here. How would Dr. Stew, and this is what I like, Hutch Andy, celebrate if we beat Norwich? Well, obviously you won't celebrate because you're entirely impartial as professional journalists.
We'll celebrate by returning to the office to write the following day's newspaper.
Absolutely. And churn out lots for online too.
Yes. Maybe have a sandwich.
Yeah, maybe, if you get time. GT.
And some shisha.
This is an interesting one. What are your thoughts on the
throw that out there. Okay.
What are your thoughts? I think it's back to you now, Stu, because Andy's done himself proud in that last answer. What are your thoughts on the Dazelle situation? A few conspiracy theories starting to gather pace. What's he talking about?
I saw this on Twitter this morning. I wasn't aware of any. We had a little delve into the World Wide Web, and I don't know. What are these conspiracy theories? It seems to be that he is fit, but there's fit and then there's match fit, and the way we understand it is that he's back and he's available, but they've put him through some pretty rigorous tests now. They've put in more emphasis on sports science, and the quote Hurst used was physical deficiencies. They found some physical deficiencies. They need to explore things further, but at the end of the day, you're talking about a potential multi-million pound asset, potentially the best player the club has produced in a long, long time, who could be a major asset to you financially, not just as a player further down the line. Why would you risk him breaking down again by rushing him back? He's had a year out. His body's still growing. Perhaps we all got a bit carried away that he played a bit more game time than we thought in pre-season, and he had the assist against West Ham. But it sounds to me like they've basically going to just wrap him in cotton wool for another 6 months.
It's just sensible, isn't it? As you say, with potentially such a huge asset.
We can only go on what people are telling us, can't we, in terms of his fitness. I think privately, and speaking to Jason, his dad, he's raring to go, and that's great. Of course he is. He's a young teenage lad who loves football and wants to play, and he feels his body is ready. But sometimes you've got to trust the experts and the physios and the the sports science
guys. He comes back and wrecks his knee in his first game back, you know what I mean? Again.
Well, they've said that these physical deficiencies, like that Paul Hurst isn't going to come out and talk about that publicly if it's not a real concern, something they're treating very, very seriously. So.
How many young players over the years have we seen have recurring injuries that you just think, what a waste, what a shame? I mean, Johnny Williams, for example, who we've had here, who has just never been able to get any runs or whatever. And if you are some of those players, you know, if you could rewind the clock, do you wish you'd have actually taken a little bit longer and got yourself absolutely 100% right? I'm sure they would say that. I'm sure it's really frustrating for him right now, but you know, we can only go on what people are telling us, and I guess he's got to trust in those people that have his best interests at heart.
The tractor, I'm going to read this out. I think we've already addressed it, but I'm going to read it out so we're not accused of just whitewashing anything negative. The tractor is not a happy man. I've seen all six games and feel I'm in a parallel universe reading about encouraging signs. Yes, some prettier play in the middle, but next to no goal threat, blanks from Hurst, two strikers and Nolan, and can't defend set pieces or keep clean sheets. Please spell out the signs. Well, I think we've already discussed that, but I just wanted to read that out just for the benefit of the court. Dylan, what sort of attendance are you expecting? Who should play centre-back if Red isn't rescinded, I assume he means, or Red is rescinded? And would you consider playing a Ward or a Sears to add a bit of experience of derby days, especially with Scoos missing? Who wants to take that?
First part, I gather they've sold more than 24,000 tickets, pushing 25, and you can buy them until I think 10 a.m. on Sunday morning from the shop.
Okay.
What's the next bit?
Do you want to take part two? Basically, who should play
centre back
if Red is rescinded? So Intiala's available.
Stu's got a little map.
He's got a little team.
We've just been talking about this beforehand. If Intiala doesn't play, and if he is suspended, then, as I say, we should just all pack up and go home.
But yeah,
you never know with the FA and these things. It just takes one person to see it differently. I think I'd put Shalabar in at centre back, and reasons being, I wouldn't want to mess about with Danasian moving. You know, he's bedding himself in at this level. He's had some decent games at right back, so I wouldn't want to be moving him inside. I wouldn't. Likewise with Knudsen. And then the only other option really would be Spence, who I think Hurst has fairly early on decided against him as a centre back. He had a pretty poor game at centre back against Braintree.
Yeah,
I think he ended up
long time ago
getting shifted at half time from that game, and he did really have a bit of a mare at centre back there. So I don't think you're going to suddenly bring him in from the cold and chuck him in at centre back. So the only real alternative, if they don't sign someone else, would be to move Shalabar in there. Yeah. That's who slotted in after the Red last weekend.
Well, Wolfenden's back fit. He played in the under 23s earlier in the week, but that's that kind of fit. That's not straight into a derby.
That injury, I think he'd have been in pole position, because he had a really good pre-season, but that injury has probably just pushed him back a little bit.
Just to throw this in, because it's all on the same thing, but I don't want to come to it as a separate question. Adam Morton says, does Graham start? I mean, obviously Stu will come back to you. Who plays at centre back? We've already talked about. And should Hughes be involved and or Rowe/Bishop? So do you want to take us through the little team that you've written down?
Well, Andy can probably talk about some of those latter ones, because he went to the 23s the other week.
Yeah.
If Shalabar drops in at centre-back, we're assuming it will be 4-1-4-1 or a variation off, because that's what it's been thus far. So I would think if Shalabar has to drop in at centre-back, Flynn Downes would come in. I think Hurst is quite a fan of Downes. He blocked his call-up for the under-19s in the summer because he wanted to have a good look at him. He's come on in the last couple of games and had a couple of decent little substitute cameos, and I think his industry and grit and his love for a tackle would be well suited to Derby Day. So I'd see him come in. The final third then becomes quite interesting with this left-sided issue, doesn't it? Can we see Jordan Graham? I think we talked about Jordan Graham has clearly been earmarked for this problem left-sided role, but I don't know if you chuck him straight in. What do you think, Andy?
I'd be very surprised if they did that. And to go back to a previous point in one of the other questions, I don't think you put Ward or Sears in simply for the Derby Day experience. You put him in because you think they're the best options, which I'm not convinced he would be.
Hughes isn't going to be involved, is he?
I think there's an ever so slight chance he might be on the bench, but the other two were Rowe and Bishop. In that, I don't think.
And didn't Hirsty Hollywood say that Bishop had picked up a knock yesterday?
He got
in training.
Yeah, so it's a knock to his ribs, so something that will come and go.
Ribs are important. James Monk.
Very true.
James Monk for the third best podcast host in Ipswich. I don't know who he's talking about.
So who are the first two?
Well, me. I don't know who the other two are.
Okay.
What was the quote from Brian Clough? I wouldn't say I'm the top manager in England, but I'm in the top one. That was a classic. Yeah. Brian Clough, wasn't it? Anyway, James Monk, if that is your real name, for the third best podcast host in Ipswich, when is the service station quiz? Or is Hutch running scared now?
This has grown much like the fight with Chris Doig.
Yeah.
Neither of which.
I think you'd have a better chance in the service station quiz. I'll just put it out there.
Yeah. Okay. Me against Chris Doig in a service station quiz. I'd win that.
Yeah.
Hutch knows his stuff about service stations.
Well, James, who I believe I'm right in saying is a long distance lorry driver. Yeah, lorry driver.
Ooh.
He reckons his knowledge is next level to yours.
Who's this, James?
James Monk.
James,
yeah.
Can you send us, if you could compile the questions, we'll quite happily do that as a section going forward. I'd like to see.
That's a great idea. We need to get James involved in some way. Maybe like a phone link up, or we could do like a completely off topic.
Could record the questions and send them in.
Yeah.
And you'd struggle to park his lorry in our small little car park.
I assume he's always on the road. Plus, if he's calling me the third best podcast host in Ipswich, we might fall out.
Has he got a personalised number plate for his truck?
Good question, James. Let us know. Have you got a personalised number plate? Good to have you involved. We're getting to the end of the questions. Andy G. I've lost track of whose turn it is to answer, so whoever wants to take this one. Has Paul Hurst tried to cram three transfer windows worth of signings into one? And subsequently, has the squad rebuild been rushed and disruptive?
I don't think he intended to make as many signings as he did. I don't think this was him coming in and going, I'm the new guy, I'm ripping up everything, I'm starting again. I think circumstances just occurred in terms of Waghorn wanted to go, Garner wanted to go, Webster wanted to go, and all of a sudden, you know, he had opportunities to go out and sign some players. So, you know, McGoldrick had already, that decision had been made before he left. So I think he said he came in and, you know, he knew that they'd finished 12th and you didn't need to rip up everything and completely start again. I think originally when he took the job, he planned for a bit of evolution rather than revolution, and it's just turned out that way, and now people are looking at it and thinking, why has he come in and changed everything? It's just circumstances just unfolded the way it did over the summer.
I love your little turn of phrase, Stu, which is exactly why the doctor fits you: evolution rather than revolution.
Well, he said that, hasn't he, Andy? That he didn't expect to do as much business as he did.
Yep.
Right.
What else you got for us?
I want to finish with the question we got asked last week. It's the best question we ever had, and finally something that I can weigh in on. Peter Plum, who would win in a fight like this straight away?
It would be fighting.
Clubber Lang or Apollo Creed? These are the sort of questions we want. This is the important stuff that we need to get to. So, of course, there he's talking about the fictional pugilists, Clubber Lang, played by Mr. T in Rocky 3, as we all know.
Pain.
And Apollo Creed, played by the guy who can't remember, but he was basically all the Rockies until he got iced by Ivan Drago in Rocky 4. If he dies, he dies. I must break you. All that sort of stuff.
I can't picture Apollo Creed.
Have you seen Rocky?
Yeah.
How can you not know Apollo Creed is? He's the main protagonist, the flashy guy that Rocky has to fight in the first two films. You must.
Then
know.
They become best.
It's been
mates.
A long time.
Then they become best mates.
Now his son, Adonis Creed, is in the new ones.
Yes.
Okay,
correct.
Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan.
I can picture him now. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. What's your favourite Rocky, first of all?
Four.
That's the correct answer.
Greatest montage in the history of films.
I listened to that music.
The training montage.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Anyway, who would win? We've got Clubber Lang in one corner. We've got Apollo Creed in the other.
It's no contest, Apollo Creed.
Well, here's how I break it down as a fight journalist, right? So, Apollo Creed, basically, I don't know if you know, is based on Muhammad Ali. That's who the character's based on. It doesn't take any kind of genius to see that when you watch the films. So, Apollo Creed's got to move. He's got to dance. He's got to use the sweet science. He's got to be in and out. He doesn't want to get pinned down. Clubber Lang, very similar for me to Joe Frazier. And obviously, Ali Frazier, the styles meshed. Frazier wanted to walk Ali down, wing the big hooks at him, particularly the left hook. And that is exactly what Clubber Lang's got to do in this fight. He's looking to walk Apollo Creed down, get him into a corner and wing away at the body. Unfortunately, Apollo Creed's got the equaliser and that's his right hand. Straight down the pipe, straight line punches, always beat hooks. So I'm saying as long as Apollo Creed can dance, keep moving and not get pinned into the corner too much, he's going to win on points. Yeah. Or maybe late stoppage.
Apollo Creed's got the better shorts.
Also important. Very important. Excellent.
Which is my input.
Anyway, so that's my thoughts on that.
That was your moment, friend. I'll leave it as your moment.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's my time to shine. Finally.
You know who'd have appreciated that? Probably not listening. Kieran Dyer.
He would.
He would have appreciated that. He loves boxing.
We're fighting friends.
He comes in the office and all he wants to talk to you about is fighting. He doesn't care about the football, does
Kieran
he?
Dyer loves boxing. He loves MMA. And obviously, he likes to fight himself, as Lee Bowyer would tell you.
Last time Kieran came in, he just jetted back from Vegas to watch the Mayweather fight, hadn't he? With Titus.
Yeah.
What a lifestyle.
I keep asking him to take me to a fight, but he always got an excuse. Anyway, so that's mailbag finish for this week. I particularly enjoyed the final question by Peter Plum. More of those, please. More fighting questions.
Cheers, Pete.
It's not really a football podcast, this, for me.
Thanks, Pete.
Let's talk more fighting. Anyway, Derby Day. Back to Derby Day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fight as
well. It's going to be a fight. On the pitch only, please.
Yes.
Let's finish, shall we, now, boys, with our thoughts about the game itself.
And the press box.
Oh, yes. Yes. An Anchorman style face-off between two sports desks.
No touching of the hair and face.
Yeah. The Anglian versus the EDP.
Can we take a trident?
A brawl for all. chaps, where do you want to go with this? Derby Day, your thoughts, your memories, what are we saying? I remember Destruction Derby, that's probably my first. No, I tell a lie. My first memory, of course, is the famous Brian Gunn air kick. Because as a boy growing up in Suffolk.
Well, we've got two goalkeepers out of form at the moment, which just throws in a little thing into the mix, doesn't it? Bart has, I've got to say, he's been nowhere near his levels of last season, post-World Cup, post-new contract. He's looked a little bit flappy at times. Tim Krul's had a bit of a nightmare start to life at Norwich as well. I mean, a good goalkeeper, of course he is in terms of his career, but I think that always adds an element of intrigue when you've got two goalkeepers that are short of confidence. So, both teams, I'm sure, will be trying to play on that. There's a thought for you.
Imagine if Krul recreates the air kick. That'd be amazing. So who are you looking for? For both sides, boys, in terms of key players, I mean, obviously, my uncultured, non-professional football pundit's eye, I would say that Gwion Edwards would certainly be a man to watch in this game, in terms of getting the fans excited, getting them off their seats, early doors. You'd expect Town to come out like gangbusters, hit them hard, hit them early.
They've been starting really fast under Hurst, which is something I think we were all crying out for last season. It was all a bit cautious. Under Mick, so they seem to be fast starters under Hurst, which I think is great for Derby Day, burst out the block, so that would be good.
Get everyone going, that could. Fans included.
Hernandez, the key man for Norwich, I think.
Yeah, he's doing
looking
well,
at
he?
Things, he's their flying left winger, so if Edwards is on the right hand side, that will be intriguing to see who can kind of push who back down that side.
Hot take, there's going to be a red card in this game.
Jordan Rhodes.
Oh, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? He's going to play, isn't he? He's okay. He's not.
I would think so. Yeah. Srebeni played midweek at Cardiff in the Cup and scored twice.
I think so.
So he rested quite a few. Quite a few changes, wasn't there, in midweek?
Ten
changes. So I should think they'll probably revert. I don't know. They got done 3-0, didn't they, by Leeds at home last week? But
everyone's getting tonked by Leeds at the moment. So.
It sounds like while it was 0-0, it sounded like they went toe to toe with Leeds, though, from what I gather. They were. But once the goals started going in, I think Krul made another rick. Once they started going in, that's where Leeds jumped them.
Okay. But let's finish then with predictions. And I'm going to start because I, my friends, have had a dream. Just like Martin Luther King, I've had a dream. Mine's slightly less lofty in terms of ideals. But my dream on Tuesday night, this is very true, very vivid dream. I clearly need to get out more. I dreamt about the derby. And I dreamt that Town are going to win 1-0.
Okay.
Now, someone scored in the 80th minute. Now, in my dream, as I remembered it, it was someone with short cropped hair. Could have been grey hair. John Walters. But, essentially, the winning goal scored in the 80th minute. Norwich throw everything at Town and the ball's just winging the crossbar, hitting the post, all that sort of stuff. But somehow Ipswich hold on, and the win kickstarts their season 1-0 to Town. That's what I'm saying. Luke Chambers or John Walters to score the winner, 80th minute.
Chamber would be good. After thinking he'd got the winner at Carrow Road last season, I think that still plays on his mind, looking at some of his interviews this week, that will haunt him for a long time. So
I'm saying 1-0.
That would be a lovely redemption moment, I think, for Luke.
It would also be great for me.
I agree with you, 1-0 though. That's where I was going to go. But my hot take is that Ipswich's goal will come from a set piece. Well, they will no concede from a set piece, but they will score from one.
Excellent.
Yeah, that,
the doctor.
That ties in with the Luke Chambers goal, wouldn't it? I think Mad Dog Jonas Knudsen's got another big Derby Day moment in him.
Yeah.
I thought he was their best player at Sheffield Wednesday last weekend. This is my hot take. There we go. Because nobody has adhered to that rule yet.
We've all had hot takes.
We've literally just done
two hot takes. She basically doesn't listen when we talk, does he?
I didn't realise he's
too busy stroking his chin and reading his notes. Yeah. So what's your hot take? Jonas Knudsen.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to say he's going to score the goal, but I think he's going to be a key man for Ipswich, especially with... I think he's going to have a good game, and I think he'll have a key role to play.
Excellent. Well, that seems like a suitable place to end. We're all predicting wins for Town. So fingers crossed, it's not another Norwich victory, because that'd be terribly, terribly dull.
Can I just put
dull.
The record straight on something? Someone put a comment on one of our web stories saying that I've predicted Ipswich to win every game, which is not true. Just completely not true.
It's generally a 1-1 you go for, isn't it?
Generally, just generally put 1-1.
Yeah.
Can we talk about what they also called you in that same comment?
If you like.
They called you a frog abuser.
Yes. Now, we came in this morning racking our brains, because Stuart gets called a lot. Which probably won't share now, but frog abuser is one of the more creative and mystifying ones, until we remembered.
You're an idiot. He's just tried to throw mint up in the air.
Again, proving he's not listening to what's going on. Stewie's trying to throw mint into his own gob as we talk. But yes, so you once wrote in one of your verdicts earlier this season about boiling frog syndrome, which is clearly where frog abusers come from. But I think in terms of a put down, it's one of the more creative and inspired ones that I've ever heard.
I like that.
Yeah, excellent.
It proves that people are taking on board my words.
Exactly.
So that's obviously...
Exactly.
But it's not true, though, is it?
It's not true. It was an analogy.
You've never lobbed a frog into boiling water.
No, frogs were harmed in the making of the verdict.
We love animals on this show. Anyway... Before we go, it's important to say that if you've liked this podcast, please do click subscribe on your various podcast providers and leave us a review. 5 stars only on iTunes.
Yeah. Can we also rank the Ipswich podcast hosts as well, given that that was a discussion earlier?
I don't like that.
A definitive ranking.
I don't like that.
How many are there?
Well, there can't be many, can there? Certainly I'm the best. Anyway, let's have a look. Let's have a look at the latest review. Just want to give a shout out to Video Victim. 5-star review on iTunes.
Have you read this one before you read it out?
Yeah, he says great stuff.
Okay.
He says he thinks we should end with a deliberate partridge every week, and on that bombshell, that sort of thing, which is interesting.
Needless to say, Video Verdict had the last
what a way to have a good time. Please do enjoy the derby. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. As I say, leave us a review. Follow it with us. The boys are going to be here today, Friday. Obviously, they'll be doing the deadline day stuff. Follow it online with them and on Twitter. Follow the boys on Instagram as well, because I'm sure at some point Stuart's going to update Instagram, maybe even on Sunday, with his shirtless celebration when Town win 1-0 in the 80th minute. You've heard it here first.
Yep, he's done that before. So
absolutely. Yep. Boys, is there any other business you want to mention before we sign off for the day?
No other business.
Okay, well, that we'll say come on the Blues. We'll say thank you for your time. We've enjoyed talking to you, and we'll talk to you again very soon.